Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nach Yomi, with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pessy Busel Novik, and today we are studying the fifth chapter of Sefer Micha, the Book of Micah. Perek He, chapter 5, comprises a unit with the Perek before, continuing Micha's prophecy of consolation. Its 14 verses can be divided into three paragraphs. Psukim Aleph Ad He, Psukim 1 to 5, assure the security of the king who will lead Bnei Israel at the end of days. Psukim Vav through Chet, 6 through 8, speak to the dominance of Bnei Israel over their enemies. And Psukim Tet to Yudalid, 9 through 14, clarify that the exalted position that Bnei Israel will achieve comes about only through the strength of Hashem. One might say that each paragraph stands on its own, sort of a mini-series of prophecies. The parak opens with an address to the tribe of Yehudah, Judah, specifically the family of David HaMelech, announcing that Melech HaMashiach will be the scion of David's father, Yishai. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. Va'ata bet lechem Ephrata, tza'ir lihiyot ba'alfei Yehudah, mimcha liyetze lihiyot moshel v'Yisrael, u'motza'atav mikedem, mimei olam. Micha says, and you, Bethlehem Ephrata, whose numbers are small when compared to the other families of Yehudah, from you shall come to me, to Hashem, a leader of Israel. His roots will date back to long ago, days of yore, since forever, one might say. According to Dat Mikra, this verse calls to the family of Yishai, father of David HaMelech, who were located in Bethlehem. From his family will come the Messiah, the Melech HaMashiach. You may recall, gentle listener, that Yishai's family was not the largest of Yehudah, the tribe of Judah. David says as much when Shmuel HaNavi, the prophet Samuel, informs him that he has been chosen to reign over Israel. Moreover, King David was the youngest of Yishai's sons. Nevertheless, David's roots and those of Mashiach extend far back to the days of Ruth HaMoaviah, Ruth as in the Book of Ruth, and still further back to Peretz, son of Yehudah and Tamar. It is interesting to consider how often the biblical leaders of Bnei Israel did not conform to the law of primogeniture. They were not firstborn in their families. Micha continues in Pasuk Bet 2. Lachen yitnem ad et yoleda yalada, v'yeter achim yishuvun al Bnei Israel. Therefore Hashem will give his people until the time when the laboring woman shall give birth. Then the rest of Judah's brothers will return as part of Israel. Is it me, or does that sound a bit cryptic? Dat Mikra explains that Micha is speaking of the time of suffering that will precede the ultimate redemption, which the prophet says will emerge quickly, like an infant who suddenly comes into the world at the end of his mother's travail. It is true that the people will suffer, and their birth pangs, their suffering at the hands of the enemy, will grow progressively intense. But this suffering will come to an end, after which the redemption will immediately follow. Now the Hebrew verb yishuvun, meaning they will return, can be taken literally. The other 10 tribes will physically return to Eretz Yisrael at the time of Mashiach. Or it can refer to their undergoing the process of tshuva, penitence. Or, that's right, Micha may well have intended both meanings. In Pasuk Gimel 3, the Navi speaks of the Melech HaMashiach, saying, V'amad v'ra'a b'oz Hashem, v'g'on shem Hashem Elokav, v'yashavu ki ata yigdal ad afsei aretz. He will stand, that is, he will be a man of stature, his kingdom will be stable, and he shall rule with power and heroism that have been afforded him by God. He will rule with dignity in the name of Hashem his Lord. And all of the people will settle in Eretz Yisrael. For now, during the reign of Mashiach, Eretz Yisrael will expand into Afsei Eretz, the limits of the earth. Math people, the word Efes means zero in modern Hebrew. Limits, zero, just thinking aloud. Pasuk Dalet, 4. V'hayaze shalom, ashur ki yavo be'artzenu v'chi yidroch ba'arminotenu, v'hakemonu alav shiv'a ro'im, u'shmona nesichei adam. And this shall be peace. That is, the situation Micha describes will be one of true, everlasting peace. Should Ashur come to our land, should they come into our borders and try to trample upon our fortresses, we will set upon them 7 shepherds and 8 heads of state to retaliate. Let me note that as a rule, Micha did not always assign definite antecedents to his pronouns. leaving them open to interpretation. In our verse, the word zeh, this, may refer to the situation described, or it may refer to the Melech HaMashiach himself, or at least half a dozen other possibilities. Gentle listener, we're about to take what my teacher in grad school would call a bird walk and briefly mention the concept of literalness in Tanakh. Earlier, when we dealt with parallelisms in the text, we mentioned synonymous poetic feat. A Hebrew term for this is kefel inyan b'milim shonot, that is, the repetition of an idea in different words. This is a sort of parallelism that helps readers make sense of the text. Take the second verse of Micha chapter 1, Shim'u amim hazinu eretz, listen, O nations, and lend ear, O earth. Say I'm unfamiliar with the word hazinu, and my teacher has just called on me. Since I know the meaning of the word shim'u, I can expect that hazinu has something to do with hearing. Sure enough, the translation reads, listen, lend ear. Same difference, right? Not so fast. You see, when it comes to kefel inyan b'milim shonot, we have two distinct schools of thought. For one, we have Radak and his ilk, who do not parse the text seeking distinctions between like phrases, not even in cases of repeated narratives, such as in Parashat Chayei Sarah, where we are told the story of Abraham's servant's encounter with Rivka Imenu, Rebecca the matriarch, in the voice of the Mikra, the text, and again in the voice of the servant when he retells the story to Rivka's family. Rashi claims that much learning can be gleaned from the Tzichat Chulin, the general speech of the servant of a great man, and he proceeds to contrast the two versions in detail, pointing to seemingly trivial inconsistencies in the way the story is told and exposing the wisdom that lies therein. Radak, however, dismisses these inconsistencies, observing that this is just the way people talk. Radak is not one for minutiae in the text. And then again in Rashi's camp, we have Malbim, an acronym that stands for Rabbi Meir Wisser, a Torah sage and grammarian who lived in the 19th century. Malbim denied the principle of kefel inyan b'milim shonot, insisting that every word in Tanakh carries a unique shade of meaning. These same approaches to words holds true when it comes to numbers. There are those who say that certain numbers cited in Tanakh are not meant to be taken at face value, so to speak. Radak, for example, does not take our verse's reference to 7 leaders and 8 heads of state as an exact quantitative statement, explaining that the upshot of the text is that in case of attack, a great many leaders will be called upon to undo the enemy. Does this surprise you? I didn't think so. Similarly, when the prophet references the nation of Ashur, Assyria, in this verse, people in Radak's camp would say that Micha is not necessarily speaking of Ashur alone, but to any enemy that we hope will not arise in the future generations. Ashur, the international bully of Micha's era, is being used as a prototype. Okay, my fellow bird watchers, let's get back on track. I hope you enjoyed the scenery. Next, Micha describes the retaliation that will be implemented by the aforementioned leaders and heads of state, no matter their number. Pasuk Hei, 5. V'ra'u et eretz Ashur b'cherev, v'et eretz Nimrod b'ptacheha. They will rule the land of Ashur by sword, as well as the land of Nimrod, which they will attack at its very gates. They will save us from Assyria, should he dare come into our lands, dare he trample our borders. FYI, the land of Nimrod may allude to Babylonia. The text informs us that the reign of Melech HaMashiach will be so strong that its army will preempt the enemy's attack, arriving at the adversary's gates before they even cross their own borders to wage war. And so, Micha tells us in verse 6, Pasuk Vav, Vayasherit Yaakov bekerav amim rabim, kital me'et Hashem, kirvivim ale esev, asher lo yikavel la'ish, velo yiyachel lebnei adam. And it will come to pass that this remnant of Yaakov, those who survived generations of suffering, will be a blessing among the many people, like Hashem's dew that sustains the world, like the raindrops that fall upon the grass, neither of which has need to turn to man to provide sustenance, nor have they any reason to invest hope in mankind. The blessing that Yaakov receives and shares with his neighbors is one on which they can rely, since the dew is blessed directly by God and is not subject to the whims of human beings. In the next pasuk, we see another example of incremental variation, a concept that we introduced yesterday. The Navi repeats the beginning of Pasuk Vav, adding only a single word, but the outcome you will see is very different. Pasuk Zayin, 7. וַיַּשְׁרִית יַעֲקֹב בַּגּוֹיִם בְּקֵרֶב עָמִים רַבִּים כְּאַרְיֵה בְּבֵהֵמוֹת יַעַר כְּכְבִיר בְּעֵדֵרֵי צָאן אֲשֶׁר עִם עָבָר וְרָמַס וְטָרַף וְאֵין מַצִּיל. The remnant of Yaakov will be among the nations, among the many peoples, as a lion among the animals of the forest, like a lion's cub within flocks of sheep, that should it pass among them will trample and devour, and no one will be able to salvage its prey. The text is referring to nations that victimized Bnei Israel and are about to receive their due. The lion, symbol of strength and courage, stands for Israel. Israel will resemble that animal that captures its victim and tramples upon it into the ground before consuming. Moreover, once a lion has prey trapped in its jaws, no one can wrest the victim from him. That poor animal is a goner. So shall it be, the prophet tells us, with Israel and its enemies at the end of days. In the next verse, Hashem speaks directly to the army of Mashiach, issuing an immediate order. Verse 8, Pasuk Chet, Tarom yadcha al sarecha. V'chol oyvecha yikaretu. Let your hand be raised against your foe, and all of your enemies destroyed. Hashem orders the people, Tarom yadecha, overpower your enemy, sikkim, and you will defeat them all. Now, the final paragraph of this chapter does not seem to offer any condolence at all. What's it doing here? Stay with me, gentle listener. Verse 9, Pasuk Tet, V'haya b'yom ha'hu ne'um Hashem, V'ichrati susecha mikirbecha, v'avadati markivotecha. And it will be on that day, says Hashem, I will remove your horses from your midst, and I shall destroy your chariots. On what day? One would assume on the day alluded to before, when Hashem will restore the people to their original status, bestowing upon them the blessing of peace. But this pasuk talks about removing horses and destroying possessions, not of bestowing blessings of any sort. Haytachen, can it be? We'll have to be patient, I suppose. Pasuk Yud, verse 10. V'chrati arei artzecha v'harasti kol mivtzarecha. And I will destroy the cities of your land and demolish all of your fortresses. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. V'chrati chshafim miyadecha onenim lo yiyulach. And I will remove all forms of magic from your hands, and you will have no sorcery in your midst. This follows to an extent, since the people would turn to witchcraft when their horses and fortresses fails them, but we still have that sticky wicket of context. Pasuk Yud Bet 12. V'chrati psilecha umatzevotecha mikirbecha. V'lo tishtacha ve'od l'matzei yadecha. And I will remove your statues and monuments from your midst, and you will no longer bow before that which your own hands have created. The list continues. Pasuk Yud Gimel 13. V'natashti asherecha mikirbecha v'shmadeti arecha. And I will uproot your asherim, idols among you, and devastate your cities. Still not a very pretty picture. The Asherah, by the way, was a fertility goddess, a special favorite of Izebel, a.k.a. Jezebel. Finally, we have Pasuk Yud Dalet, 14. Vasiti ba'af uvechema nakom et tagoyim asher lo shameu. And I shall, with anger and with rage, avenge those nations who did not obey. Hold on. Nations that will not that did not obey? Were we not talking about Bnei Israel? Or perhaps Hashem is referring to the nation of Israel. But how then do we handle the earlier phase, the Hayah Bayom Hahu, it shall be on that day, the day when Hashem will reestablish the Davidic dynasty? That's not a day to take somebody's horses away. Well, maybe the answer is very simple. The Yom HaHu in verse 9, Tet, may be referring to a different day. Not the day of redemption, but some other day. After all, we've seen Micha play fast and loose with pronouns before. Although that is a perfectly legitimate resolution, I prefer that of Dat Mikra, who considers this paragraph from a different angle. Dat Mikra posits that Micha is in fact referring to the day of redemption, pointing out that at the end of days, there will no longer be a need for horses and chariots, for fortresses, for divining, for idols, even for cities. These will become obsolete because from that day on, Hashem will defend his people, rendering all military equipment obsolete. Something about swords and plowshares may come to mind. Hashem's revealed presence will cause these items to vanish. Similarly, upon witnessing the redemption, the people will cast away their idols, abandoning them completely. Moreover, not only will there no longer be a need for fortified cities because Hashem will fight Israel's battles, the nation will have no need for cities at all. because the population of Eretz Yisrael will increase to the extent that Bnei Yisrael will outgrow their cities. They will disperse throughout the land, living forever in peace beneath Hashem's watchful eye. May we live to see Yom Hahu, that auspicious day in our own time, and very soon. Amen. I hope that you've enjoyed studying the lineage of Melech HaMashiach, sharing Micha's visions of the days of Mashiach's regime, as well as our little bird walk along the path of Hakbalot B'Mikra, parallelism in biblical texts, and that, like me, you are looking forward to tomorrow's session. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.